Every day there's a fight over your mind and heart and passions and affections and will of your lives. That's what James wants us to see. He's like, listen, man, the reason this is happening is because there's a war going within you, and you must be aware of this war.
Excited to be back with you today, Live in the Light listeners. I am your host, Shannon Stark, and I'm here in studio today with Pastor Robbie. Today, we are starting into James 4 with a super important message called How to Fight Against Worldliness. Today's passage asks readers if they're lovers of the world. Hey, Robbie, what does this mean? How can we tell if someone's a lover of the world?
Yeah, what an important topic, eh, Shannon? Just because this will often separate, again, affection for Christ or a lack thereof. And we think of the problems of apathy, lethargy, complacency in our day. Worldliness is the culprit. And again, man, James is, the way he goes about it, I love it. He goes right after it. It's so practical. It's in your face. It just says it like it is. This is what we need. And this is what this passage deals with today. It helps us to understand, again, you're going in the wrong direction. Turn around. Come back to Jesus. Come back to where the light is. Come back to where passion is. Come back to where truth is. And this is why we're here again at Live in the Light, and so excited to be able to bring such messages of truth to you, again, based solely on the Word of God. As always, Shannon, we like to say, if God is moving in your heart and life, just the team here, we'd love to hear from you. We're just talking, even before we came on the air today, just how many people we're seeing and meeting and be able to understand how God's reaching them, impacting them, and moving their lives. Let us know. Give us a call. Get online. Send us an email. Whatever it is, we'd love to hear again how the Lord is at work in your heart. That's why we're here. 100% the reason why we're here, because that's when God gets glory. So, Shannon, all to say, excited for James 4:1-6 today.
Yes, me too. And we're going to get right into that. Maybe today you want to take some notes along with us. Either way, right now it's time to open up your Bible to James chapter 4. And here with our message, How to Fight Against Worldliness, is Pastor Robbie.
All right, who's got a Bible today? Let's open it to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 is where we're going to be. We got probably, Lord willing, a month and a half left in this series in James. Take us to the end of May. And excited about that. Again, things can change, but that's what we're planning on right now. James 4. And today, we are going to talk about the subject of worldliness. Worldliness. You're like, why would you do that? Because the Bible does. That's kind of how it goes around here. We say what the Bible says. And so the Bible is talking about worldliness. That means we're going to talk about worldliness today as well. Just by way of a little bit of disclaimer too, the first half of this, again, we're just saying what God says, but the first half is a little bit heavy hitting, okay? A little bit heavy hitting. The second half comes with a lot of grace. And that's the way it works though. That's called discipleship. That's called the pathway to walking with Christ. We need truth and grace. And that's what love does as well. And so we're going to follow that as God does well. So worldliness, is worldliness something, let me ask you this question, worldliness something you've thought a lot about? How would you define worldliness, I wonder? Is that something you have defined or maybe you can define? Again, is it something you thought a lot about? Here's a good question. Is worldliness something that concerns you? Are you concerned in the sense of, are you aware that the Bible teaches that worldliness is something that actually harm us, that can actually ruin our lives, ruin our life, our closest relationships, our marriage, our family, our church, totally ruin our lives. Are you aware of the impact and danger of worldliness? Well, one thing for sure is James, the author of our letter here, he's very concerned and very aware of worldliness. And in fact, our pivotal verse today by James, of course, by the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through human authors. And the pivotal verse really today is when James says, hey, if you're a friend or you're a lover of the world, then that automatically makes you an enemy of God. You're like, whoa, what? What? Well, that just got real, man. But that's what he says. He says, hey, if you love the world, if you're a friend of the world, then you can't also be a friend and true lover of God. It's kind of one or the other. And so he just kind of puts that out there, and we'll get to there in just a minute. But again, that just hits home right away to say, man, it's a choice in Christ. It's one or the other. Now, the Bible has much to say about worldliness and its dangers. For example, worldliness is a sure sign of spiritual immaturity. Worldliness conveys we lack love for God. Don't love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love the world in ways that we should not. Bible teaches us that worldliness is a great source of division, distraction, and the destruction of relationships and lives. The Bible teaches us that worldliness is the opposite of godliness. Interesting. It's the opposite of true godliness. The Bible teaches that worldliness is the rotten fruit of foolishness. Worldliness stems from a sinful love of self. It is the path of the enemy. It's the path of Satan and is one of the greatest quenchers of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But apart from that, worldliness is amazing. So our bottom line today, worldliness is not amazing for anyone who just woke up, okay? It is not amazing. Here's our big idea today. Here's our propositional statement. Here's our thesis. This is the whole point of what God's Word is teaching us today. Sometimes I like to just spell it out. Because worldliness is so destructive to the heart and so damaging to our lives, we must fight against it at all costs. Okay, this is not what I'm trying to say to you today. This is what the Bible's saying to you today. My job is just to be the messenger, okay? Because worldliness is so severe and destructive to our hearts and lives, then we must fight against worldliness at all costs. So we must be aware of what it is and what it's trying to do against us, okay? So hence our sermon title today is How to Fight Against Worldliness. You need to care. You need to want to do that. You need to be aware that we're in such a fight. How to fight against worldliness. And today, through God's word, is another immense dose of wisdom. Like it really is. There are some things today that I find are just so important for our entire lives and really defining, you know, phrases as to if we go this direction or that direction. We'll see today a few of them. And I'll try to point them out as clear as I can as we get there. So immense wisdom from God's word, James 4, verse 1. Look at it with me. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. Wow. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, exclamation mark. Told you a little heavy at the beginning. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Then verse 6, but he gives more grace. Amen, church? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All right, let's get after it today. How do I fight against worldliness? Again, I need to care. I need to be aware. I need to cover it in prayer. Anything else that rhymes with those words as well, okay? Point number one is this. I must recognize the war within. If I'm going to fight against worldliness, I got to wake up and realize I'm at war. Number one thing I have to be aware of. So look at verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Now, remember our context for James 4 obviously stems from James chapter 3. Now, James 3, we looked at 2 weeks ago. I know we forget things quickly, so let's just be briefly reminded of the end of James 3. He's like, hey, there's a massive battle for the wisdom from above, godly wisdom, wisdom that is pure and open to reason, and is peaceable, and the wisdom is of the world, of the earth, of Satan, the false wisdom from below. That's the contrast. There's this great battle going on. We learn in James 3 that false wisdom is really defined by two sins, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Wow. Those are the things Satan wants to do to ruin us and to fill us with foolishness in our lives. So there's this great war going on for the passions of our heart. Okay, what we must be aware of, church, you have to know this. Here, Overflow, whoever's listening right now, Orangeville, bless you, okay? You got to be aware that every day we're at war. Every day there's a war for our hearts. There's a war for the passions, again, that lie within. Every day this goes on. Just because you're filled with the Spirit yesterday, it doesn't mean you're going to be filled with the Spirit today. I wish that were so. It's not. Every day there's a fight over your mind and heart and passions and affections and will of your lives. That's what James wants us to see. He's like, listen, man, the reason this is happening is because there's a war going within you and you must be aware of this war. Now, what happens is when we start to lose this war of our flesh and again of Satan, then what happens in our lives is we lose this war. All hell breaks out upon our lives. And by the way, that's literally hell breaks out upon our lives when we lose this war in bitterness, in selfishness, in jealousy, in false ambition or selfish ambition, in greed, in lust. Hell, the product of hell starts to seep into our lives. It's Satan's ways. That's why this war is so serious. And it shows itself in quarrels and fights. It shows itself in bitterness and hatred and jealousy. It manifests itself through misery and division of relationships within us and in some sense, relational division of us and the Holy Spirit or God in our lives as well. Now, what I'm saying right there, those are the fruits or the signs of the war, fights and quarrels in James 1. That's the sign. But notice, James is like, but what's the root? See in verse 1, he's like, what causes, twice he says that, what causes quarrels, what causes fights among you? That's such an important biblical counseling, discipleship, again, identification, okay? If we just focus on the superficial fruits in our lives, if we just focus on anger and just focus on greed and just focus on bitterness and just focus on selfishness, right? Those things, like, and you look at the fruit, if you don't get to the root, you'll never change the fruit. Like, here's the question. Why am I so angry? Why am I so bitter? Why am I so envious? Why am I so selfish all the time, right? Those questions go to the cause of the sin, the root that produces the fruit. Change the root, change the fruit. Don't change the root. The fruit never changes. That's why many people, they live with the same symptoms year after year, decade after decade. There's no actual transformation because they never expose the root of why this is actually, why the anger, why the envy. And that's what we get to do today. By the help of God's word, we're going to get to the root. Like, and that's why it's going to hurt a little bit. It's one thing to kind of like, you know, pluck off the weed at the top, but to get to the root underneath, it's dandelion season, by the way. How did I not mention this last service? Man, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? Wake up, Simons, right? But it's one thing to take the lawnmower across the lawn and cut off the top of the dandelion. It's another thing to go underneath and to get a chemical or whatever it might be and underneath it, physically get the root out. It's the only way you change it. And this is what the word of God is doing for us today as well. Holy Spirit wants to really expose some roots that we might see the transformation of fruit within our lives. But notice the cause here. He says, hey, why are you fighting and quarreling? Here's why. Because your passions, here's the root. Your passions are at war within you. Interesting, the word passions in the original, it's the Greek word hedone. It's where we get our English word for hedonism. In James's day, it described an intense pleasure or enjoyment, our strong fleshly appetites. More and more, again, as history went along, and especially in the Greek language, it was referring to a lust after pleasure, and it was implying sinful sexual desire. So really, what's behind passions here is really the lust of pleasure. There was a great lust of pleasure among the people James is writing to. And what's behind the lust of pleasure, though? Behind the lust of pleasure, I want pleasure. Why? Because I worship self. See, that's the root of the root. It's the love of self where I deserve, I desire, I will get at all costs what will satisfy me in the lushly appetites of my flesh. So what I want us to see here too is James is addressing a people. This is another one of the baseline fundamental roots here. He's addressing a people who fundamentally could not be content. They always needed more. They always desired more stuff, more money, more attention, more prestige. They were unsatisfied with where they were. So they lusted after pleasure. They desired prominence. They lusted after power. OK, Okay. Now here's the thing. Here's one of the massive insights right here. Because their passions were so powerful within them, because they wanted certain passions so much, they despised or hated anyone that was in the way of achieving their passions that they lusted after. They began to mistreat or hate people who stood in the way of what they thought, again, was their greatest desire or passion. So what they were really saying, and James is explaining, is that when people are full of, again, at war of passions in their heart, they say, you are in the way of what I desire, therefore you are the object of my scorn. Pause there. I want us to think about that a little bit, because that's getting a little deeper than the average message right there. Why the fighting? Why the quarreling? Why the enmity? Why the jealousy? Why the hostility? Why the conflict? Why the rage? Why the outburst? Why the competition? Because at the end of the day, you are standing in the way of what I want. Therefore, you are the problem. You are the source of my attack. It's revealing. It's needed. It's important. So look at verse 2. Verse 2 now, he says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. Wow. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Now notice here, their desire, right? Their lust for their passions are so strong that it led, it says, to the murder of others. Wow, 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 wow. Now, is that literally true? We don't know. Could have been. Unlikely, but it could have been. There's situations. James could have been referencing situations, people so upset with others of what they had, they were brought to murder. Cain and Abel, it happened. Unlikely, possible though, but we know this, just like Jesus taught, right? Jesus taught that anger, hatred, jealousy, and the such, if it grows within us, right? The sin of anger is so powerful that if it's left to grow unchecked, unrepented of, it will go all the way to murder. If anger grows into the vicious weed that it is, it will go all the way, full out hatred, and in the end, murder. Again, that's Cain and Abel. Jealousy, hatred, murder. So Jesus taught the significance of anger and hatred within our hearts in this way. Verse 2 also explains, it goes on like the second half, it says, what we covet, when we covet what someone else has and we can't have it, then we despise them. We fight with them because they have what we want, but we can't have, again, what they have. And so it makes us mistreat and despise. So interesting, isn't it? Again, Holy Spirit's doing a lot of work right now. Okay, that's just what he does. I'm going to just try to give some examples to let the Holy Spirit do more work in our hearts. Okay, so your neighbor across the street has a nicer car than you, like a much nicer car. Maybe it's the car you always wanted. Another neighbor just did a really nice renovation to their kitchen, and you've really wanted to do that for a long time, but you can't do that. You can't get that car. You cannot renovate your house the way that they did. And so you begin, because you can't have what they want, you begin to resent them. And because you're filled with resentment and that's not checked, then you despise them. In fact, it might come to the point where, again, because you despise them, you begin to mistreat them. You shun them. You distance from them. You gossip about them in certain ways. That's what James is talking about here. You desire, the passions of your heart lead your life, lead our lives. And because we can't have what we think we want, then we despise those who do, because that's our idol. That's our goal. Christ is not. The stuff is. So we start to hate people around us who have the things we think we want. How about another person in church is given a position of leadership that you craved? Like, I should have had that position. You wanted it. You can't have it. So you begin to resent, mistreat, and even hate the person who got the leadership position that you didn't get. Fascinating. What we do is we begin to gossip about the person and try to kind of take down their character, because we start to make up stuff or come at things to try to discredit them. But behind that, it's just a jealousy and a coveting of what they have we don't have. Same thing can happen on the stage. All the history of churches and just singers and stuff like that. Why does she get to sing? I don't get to sing. She got to sing. I hate her now. You would never say that publicly, but inside, that's what's happening. Because she has what you don't. And that infuriates us. I mean, and just pulling at the root a little bit here,
or a lot. Someone else is promoted at work. You're like, I've been here longer. I've worked harder. Why did that person get the position? And because they get it and they have what you don't have, then you begin to resent and begin to, if you're not careful, hate. And then you begin to try to discredit, and gossip's the big key of all that stuff and goes around dismantling people. How about the husband and wife that are at odds in their home? And the wife wants a major upgrade to the house. The husband hates debt. Maybe he's a little tight. Tension starts to grow. The budget surely is tight and fights begin to ensue. And the tension gets even more. And what's happened there is worldliness has begun to destroy the home. See, it's really important to step back and say, what's actually happening here? Last example, there's maybe another family here in the church, and the other family seems to have things going well for them, spiritually speaking. Their kids seem to be doing well in the Lord. Yours are not doing well. And you resent that fact, and you're jealous over the fact that they have what you do that you don't have. And so because of that, you resent them. And because you covet so much what they have or whatever it might be, then you start to mistreat them, you distance yourself from them, and then you start to gossip about them indirectly and trying other people to feel the way you do. It's not really, again, that they've done anything to you at all. It's just the fact that they have what you want. See, this is what the Bible is teaching us today. Why do you fight and quarrel? It's because there's passions at war within you. In many cases, nothing to do with the actual other person. It just has to do with what's happening in your own heart, in my heart. Right? Like that's what the Bible's teaching us right now. Right? And so like wisdom, right? Wisdom says, I don't like the fruit of anger and jealousy and fighting and quarreling and conflict and envy and bitterness and just destruction. I don't like that. And the Holy Spirit's like, well, then you need to change what's inside. Right? You need to be dealing with the root to get at the fruit. And it's first step is recognizing the passions that are at war within us. So notice James's answer at the end of verse 2. He says, you do not have because you do not ask, right? So his answer is, hey, prayer. Prayer, yes. That's awesome. You're not praying about it. I'm asking for the things of the Lord. Oh, by the way, just did you know that there's a prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m.? Did you know that? Just wanted to make sure you understood that. Man, I love our prayer meeting. So simple, so beautiful, so sincere. I just love it. Wednesday 7, please come, please come, please come, please come. Hundreds gather. It's so sweet. Anyway, so James is like, hey, the answer is prayer. But he says this, but then when you do pray, you ask for the things that are contrary to the will of God. He's like, when you ask, you don't receive from God what you want because you're asking wrongly to spend on the very passions of your heart that are killing you in the first place. He's like, hey, well, when you pray, you're praying, God, bless my lusts. And God's like, I'm not going to do that. God, I want you to come and give me more of that, which is ruining my marriage. And God's like, I don't think so. Right? We have to be aware of what's going on. God, I want you to answer my prayers so I can have more in my life that is poisoning my heart and ruining my relationship with you. And the Holy Spirit's like, nah, we don't really do that. We're more into like godliness and real transformation in Christ. We're more like less of you and more of me, God says, right? We're more of like die to self and take up your cross. We're more of like blessings of joy and life for the Spirit. We're not into blessing people with materialism and a passionate lust of the flesh so that you can ruin again your heart and life. James is like, but you're asking, but you're not receiving because you're actually asking God to subsidize your lustful addictions. Wow. Again, I think for some of us here today, it's really important for us just to be like, do I do that? Like to be aware, I'm actually asking God to bless my lustful addictions. What is that? Well, in a sense, that's blasphemous. Right? And James is, he's just a straight shooter here. And he's like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. So again, I need us to pause for a second here to see what James or the Holy Spirit is saying, because it's just so massive, okay? And this is where, again, hopefully light bulb moments, the Lord can use this. One of the greatest reasons for our fighting, our quarreling, our resenting, and our hating, fundamentally, because we can't be content. I want you to think about that. I'm not in a rush right now. I just think this is so root-esque. that if we let the Holy Spirit do some surgery, man, our lives can honestly change. The reason for our fighting, quarreling, hating, and conflict many of the times is we are not content and satisfied in Christ, in the gospel, in the Lord himself. Our constant lust for more and our refusal to be satisfied is more than not the cause of our covetousness, our cursing, and our conflict. Right? You see at the end of chapter 3, verse 18, if you look there again, part of our context, he's talking about a harvest of righteousness sown by peace, by peace, by peace. How much peace do we forfeit with our lack of contentment again within our lives? So this is a powerful opportunity right now. You and I, right now, and by the way, I just want to make sure you guys all know this. I have to spend 15 to 20 hours in this text in preparation before I get to this point here right now, okay? So I'm getting decimated by the Holy Spirit all week long, okay? Now, I love that. Like personally, we all receive these differently. I love to be ripped to shreds by the Holy Spirit because I need it and he loves me. Like I know he loves me. I don't feel condemned. The enemy tries to do that, but the Holy Spirit doesn't. I love it. Like I love messages like this personally because I just, God, give it to me straight. I need to know. But he's so gracious. And we'll see that in a bit too. He's so gracious with his love as well. But you'll never see God's grace fully until you recognize how much he's given it to you and the reality of how we treat him or things are happening within our lives. So this moment right now, here's the opportunity. You and I have the chance right now to look at the areas of our lives that we lust after, the passions at war. And what's so powerful, sometimes I like to do this out loud, you can look at the item, you can look at the object, you can look at the money, you can look at the desired, whatever it might be, and you can just stare that worldliness in the face and be like, you're empty. You have no value in eternity. You will never satisfy. Like, what do you need to look at right now and just say from your heart and just say, that thing I'm going after, even if I get it, it'll never work. It'll never work. And there might be a moment of pleasure and then it's gone just like that. When you get what you want in the world, the car, the house, the promotion, the paycheck, the vacation, the sex, whatever it is, you can get it. It will not work. You stare to the face and in Jesus' name, man, you're a lie. In Jesus, I rebuke you. It's not going to work. It's so powerful to look at the world in the face. It doesn't matter if I get umpteen followers and this and whatever. It doesn't matter. It's never going to satisfy anyways. It's all a lie. Jesus Christ is satisfaction. Jesus Christ is glory. Jesus Christ is my sufficiency. Jesus Christ is my eternity. It is so, I just love saying it right now. It's so powerful and awesome to stare these things in the face and be like, you lie. And you're like, I don't care. I don't need you. It doesn't matter. There is no value in that. And you convince yourself to be like, what am I worried about? That's discipleship. That's wisdom. That's wisdom right now. I know the world we live in. It's the same one you live in. We are idolatrous to the max. This society worships. Anyways, I don't have to tell you. It is just craziness. And we're no exception to that. And yet we're supposed to be completely different and set apart from that. This is the battle we face every day. James knows it. And I just love it. This was written, 1950 years ago. And here we are today. It's like, wow, man, the Lord knows.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.